you being here tonight. And told Brother Billy, glad to have Brother Billy Young here tonight. And his wife, they're faithful people at our church. They never miss. And loves the Lord. And so we do appreciate that. And I told Brother Billy, he asked me what his name was. And I said, it's easy to remember. His first name's Billy, like yours. And his last name's what you wish you still were. That's for that cheap shot he gave me a minute ago. Brother George isn't old, he just looks bad. I appreciate Brother George being here, and I like his, to hear him sing, and I know he's got a lot of things going on, and I appreciate him taking out of his time to come be here and support it, and appreciate you, and I thank you for your prayers, thank you for your offerings, and most of all, I thank you for your presence.
Yes,
and I try to, when I'm in a revival, I try to work hard at it. I try to do my praying, my studying, and I don't think there is any unimportant services with God. I think the last night's just as important as the first night, maybe more so. And but a lot of times you do that. You know, you pray and seek the Lord all day, and then you get over to wherever you're at, and the people don't come out, and it's disheartening to you. But you fill the church up just about every night, and we got a good crowd tonight. And I certainly do appreciate these young people that have come to be with us tonight. And I appreciate the Lord laying me on Brother Miller's heart to come preach this week. I know he knows a lot of preachers. A lot of others could have filled his space, probably done a lot better. But I appreciate the opportunity to come and to be here. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'm sure you do. You ought to. And I always say we're never fully dressed for church until we got a Bible in our hand. And we want to read tonight. You may not even need to turn there. It's such a familiar verse. But I still like to turn there. I never get so familiar with my Bible, I don't like to read it. Because you can, sometimes forget maybe a word. Just leave a word out of the verse and it makes all the meaning different. But in Job chapter 14, Job chapter 14 and verse number 1, Job 14 verse number 1. Just going to read that first verse. Well, most of the time you read the first and second verse together, but we're just going to read the first verse. Wouldn't hurt anything if I had a little maybe. I hope I don't need it, but it'd be good if I do, I'd have it. I don't want to take yours.
All right.
Okay, good. That's fine. All right, in Job 14, verse 1, the Bible said, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Let's read that again. "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." That'd be everybody, wouldn't it? Let's pray tonight. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be back here, Jordan Baptist Church, Lord, on Friday night. We're thankful, Lord, as I've already expressed to the people, I express to you, Lord, that I'm thankful that, Lord, the people have come out tonight in a good number. Thank you for the good singing. Thank you for our folks down home that, Lord, have drove a distance just to come up here and hear their preacher that they hear every week. And I appreciate their faithfulness and love to God and love for me to do it. And Lord, as we come tonight, I pray you'd get in the message tonight, because I know that, Lord, it fits everybody in this room tonight. And I pray that God will help us tonight. Lord, send your word out, open our hearts up to receive it, help this preacher to be able to preach it, and God, we promise to give you all the praise. And Lord, we look around at the last few nights, and we know what we've seen was done, but only God knows what he's seen.
Yes.
And Lord, we just continue to pray and ask that, Lord, if there's a lost soul here tonight, they might come and get saved. And Lord, if there's folks here that are in need, that they might find help at God's hand. Forgive me, Lord, again tonight of my failures, sins, shortcomings. Fill me afresh with your Spirit and Word. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And now, Job said that man's days, or man that is born of a woman, is a few days, and they're full of trouble. I've said for years that when the first thing that happens to you is somebody jerks you up and slaps you till you cry, you know it's going to be rough. The Bible don't make no pretense about it. God just told us right there. He said that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Now, I want to preach tonight on some problem-solving places. But the word problem is not in the Bible, but there's a lot of words that we know that's what it means, just like the word trouble. We know if we got trouble, we got a problem. We know that David talked about one time of being overwhelmed. He said, Lord, when I'm overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that's higher than I am. And what he was saying was, Lord, when I have a lot of troubles. We know Psalms 22, the psalmist said in verse 18, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. We know that burden is a sign of some kind of trouble or problem or difficulty. We know the Bible said in Psalms 34 and verse 17, many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Bible said, it goes on to say, the Lord will deliver us out of them all. But that word affliction means that there's trouble, there's problems. Yes. And tonight, every one of us tonight, we have troubles and we have problems in our life. One of the things, reason for that is we live in a sin-cursed world. Another reason for that is because we have an adversary, the devil. And he wants us to have all kinds of problems and all kinds of trouble. Yes. Brother Miller mentioned tonight of somebody at the hospital. I think it was Rick. It was at the ER. Yes. And he's mentioned Rick all week. And every time he says Rick, I think he's talking about me. I've almost took up the offering and sang and went to the ER this week. But I want you to know that that was meaning somebody's got trouble. He told about a dear sister that has cancer that you're going to have a special time for Sunday night. And she has problems. Sometimes we think only older people have problems. But these young people have problems tonight. Sometimes we think because they're young that we overlook the fact and we think, well, they're young, you know, they have not had to be in the workforce yet. They don't have their own family, and so they really don't have no problems. But they have problems at school, and they have problems with relationships. Some of them may have problems at home and problems in the world, and so everybody has problems. There's a lot of people that have got rich writing books about how people can solve their problems. There's a lot of people that have made a lot of money on seminars that people have went hoping to solve their problems. I think the greatest thing I ever heard Jerry Falwell say, I heard him say one time that most Christian people, they try their whole life to live their life without having any problems. But he said the wiser thing to do would realize the Bible says you're going to have problems. And the wiser thing to do would be try to pray and find out what to do when you do have problems. And I thought that was really a good statement. But there is some places tonight some people are going. Brother Miller mentioned going to the AA meeting. People go there because they have a drinking problem. There's places, drug centers that people go, addiction centers. They go there because they have a drug problem. There's people that go to psychiatrists and counselors of all sorts because that they have problems. I spend millions of dollars every year spent in the United States of America on people going places to try to get their problems solved. But I want to give you tonight, real quick tonight, I want to give you three problem-solving places. The first one that I want to give you tonight, I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah tonight. Isaiah chapter 12. The Bible said in verse 2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." I want to say, first of all tonight, I want to say the well of salvation is a problem-solving place. The greatest problem that any man, any woman, any boy, any girl has ever had is the problem with sin, the problem of being lost, the problem of dying without God and having to go to hell and to pay the wages of our sins. I'll tell you tonight that whenever we go to that well of salvation, that takes care of the biggest problem that we ever have had or ever will have, is that problem of being lost without God. You know, I was driving up the road tonight and I got to thinking about what I was going to preach on. And I got my Bible out and opened it up, and I'm driving, trying to read the Bible. I know that's dangerous, but anyway I was, because I got in my mind, I said, that verse in Isaiah 12, did it say well or did it say wells? And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, well, I know there's only one well, the well of salvation. There's only one person that we can be saved by. There's only one place we can go. And I was thinking, Lord, why did the Bible say wells? I even called an old preacher friend of mine going up the road. He said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Yes." I said, Isaiah 12 and 3, why did the Bible say wells instead of just well? Because I know there's only one place to be saved. He said, "Preacher, I don't know." He said, "I've never thought about it." But I was sitting right there while they were finishing up the service, and the Lord, he seemed to reveal to me that verse over in John 7, when the Bible said it was the last and great day of the feast. And Jesus stood and cried, and he said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me, and out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." I know that God has a well of salvation, but I also know that when we get saved, God puts a well inside of us, and I'm glad for that. I know the Bible speaks of the Word of God as water, as a well. I know that. I know tonight, listen, I got salvation from the Lord, saved from sin. But sometimes I've been saved from problems when somebody that had a well in them shared with me something out of their heart. Or sometimes I've got in the Word of God and I've studied, and out of the Word of God, God has showed me something out of the Word of God. But I'm glad tonight, listen, there is a well of salvation. Now, we could not ever think about that verse without connecting it to John 4. Even the cross reference in the Scofield Bible, and probably yours, it takes you over to John 4. Now, we know in John 4 that the Bible said Jesus that he was tired and weary. Just like some of you are tonight. But the Bible said, he said, I must needs go. That's what some of you said tonight. I'm tired and I'm weary, but I must needs go. I need to go support the church. I need to go support the pastor. I need to go because I might get something from God. But the Bible said that Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, he sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Verse 7 said, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that sayest thou truly. Now, if you and I had been sitting there or standing there or on the way to the well, and we saw this Samaritan woman coming to draw water from the well. I'm sure she was dressed right. I'm sure she looked like the other Samaritans. She had her vessel with her because we know she later left it. But she had her vessel to put water in. And if you and I had looked at her, we probably would have thought that woman doesn't have a problem in the world. But in reality, that woman had the greatest problem anybody could ever have. That woman was lost without God. You know, tonight we look at each other and we all look okay. I don't see anybody doesn't look okay tonight. We're dressed right. We had some way to get here. Everybody looks like they're eating pretty good. And I don't mean by that you're fat. I just mean we all got something to eat. Everybody looks pretty nice. Physically, everybody looks good. But you know tonight, God looks upon the heart tonight. And sitting here in this auditorium, there might be somebody with a lot of problem going on that only God knows about. Maybe somebody here tonight, we think, well, everybody looks all right, so everybody must be saved. There might be somebody here in the midst of a crowd like this that has never been saved. Or maybe they've been saved, thought they'd been saved, and they've been struggling with it. Now they're not sure. What I'm saying is, you can't tell by looking at people if they've got a problem. I mean, a deep problem. But I'm glad, listen, I'm glad for the well of salvation. The Bible said that this was Jacob's well, where that they went to. It's 125 feet deep. Did you know that today people are still drawing water out of Jacob's well? In the Old Testament, the Bible tells us that Jacob bought a parcel of land in Genesis 33, verse 18 through 20. And we know that Jacob, he dug a well. Dug a well on that land. You say, why? Well, did you know nobody wants land? Nobody wants property that don't have water on it. Nobody wants to buy a farm there's no water on. Nobody wants to buy a house that there's no access to water. And so water is very, very important. And Jacob dug a well. I want you to know that later on when Jacob died, Jacob gave that well to Joseph. So Joseph's father gave him a well. I'm glad tonight, aren't you, that our Heavenly Father gave us a well. I'm glad the well is deep. And I'm glad that though people have been drawing from it for years and years and hundreds and thousands of years, I'm glad we can still draw from it tonight. I'm glad we can still get a drink of water from it tonight. You see, false preachers, false churches, the Bible is likened to water. The Bible, the Spirit's likened to water. And did you know there's churches tonight, they're like that land. They don't have any well in them. They don't have any water in them. They don't have the Bible. They don't have the Spirit of God. They don't have any water. They may have a nice building. They may have a great congregation. But you know what? If they don't have a well, they're like that land. They're not any good for anything. Jude said about false professors and false prophets and false preachers. He said they're like whales without water. I'm glad tonight, thank God we got a well. Amen. I'm thankful for the Word of God. Did you know tonight that well that woman found? She said this well's deep, but Jesus was talking about a deeper well. You know this? You older people know this. The deeper the well, the less chance of it going dry. Can I tell you, there's never been a well any deeper than Calvary, and there's no danger of it ever going dry, praise God. I'm glad there's still water in the well tonight. Did you know this woman came to the well? You remember Rebecca? Rebecca came. Eliezer, he's not named in the chapter, but we know it's Eliezer. And Eliezer came looking for the bride for Isaac. You know how that he figured out which one it was? Because Rebecca, she drew water for 10 camels. 10 in the Bible's a number of testimony. They sent out 10 spies. It's a number of testimony. And she drew water out of that well for 10 camels. That's when Eliezer said, that's the one. That's the bride. You know how you can tell Christ's bride? They've had some water. They drew some water out of the well. I'm about to preach myself happy tonight. I'm glad tonight. I'm getting blessed by my own preaching. I don't think you're supposed to do that, but anyway, I am. But I want to say tonight, I'm glad, thank God, that there is a well. I'm glad one day I made my way to the well of salvation. It took care of my greatest problem. I've had family problems. I've had marital problems. I've had financial problems. But I'm glad that day as a 10-year-old boy, I came to the well. My greatest problem was took care of. And that was the problem of being lost without God. You see, this woman came to Jacob's well. Did you know the well, that well took care of three problems that woman had? I'm talking about the well Jesus had, the one Jesus said, if you drink of that well, he said, you're going to come back. But if you drink of the water that I'm going to give you, the well from in with in me, the well of Calvary, he said, you're not going to get thirsty no more. But I see that it took care of some problems this woman had. Did you know the well will take care of the water, and the well will take care of your dirt problem? You can't get clean without water. I know they make this waterless stuff. I bought the other day, I was in a meeting somewhere, and I run out Walmart or somewhere, and I bought some hairspray. You say you wear hairspray? I wear more of it now than I ever did. You say, why? Trying to hold these 4 or 5 hairs in place, amen. But I'll tell you, I bought some. I took it and I got ready to go to church, and I sprayed my hair. And Brother Miller, I went outside. Time I got to church, it hadn't done a bit of good. I went home. I looked at that bottle. It wasn't hairspray at all. It was waterless shampoo is what it was. And I'll tell you what, you can't get clean without some water. And this woman had a dirt problem. You say, what do you mean? Well, the Bible said that she had been married several times. She had a problem there. But I'm glad the water will take care of our dirt problem tonight. If you've got sin in your life, the well of salvation will take care of that problem tonight. That well, it took care of her drink problem. That's why she'd come. And the Lord told her about this water he had. And she said, Lord, give me this water that I'll never thirst again. I'm glad, listen, if you ever take a drink from the well of salvation, you'll never thirst again. That verse used to bother me for years because I'd got saved at an early age. And I'd read that verse and it'd tear me up. And I'd say, Lord, that verse said, you'll never thirst again. But I said, Lord, I thirsted for things. I thirsted for a better vehicle. I thirsted for a better place at work. I thirsted for things. And the Holy Ghost one day, he turned the light on. He said, yes, sir. He said, I know, but that's not what I'm talking about. He said, but have you ever thirsted for another Savior? I said, no, sir. Glory to God. I've never one time given Muhammad a 2 seconds thought. I've never one time thought about Joseph Smith. You say, why? Because as a 10-year-old boy, I got the Son of God in my heart, and that's all the Messiah ever needed. I've never thirsted for another one, and I say, praise God tonight. You see, this woman had a man problem. What did it say there? She'd had 5 husbands, and the one she had wasn't her own. She had a man problem. Makes me think of the lady that was reading the obituary column. And she read where this woman, her husband had died. Of course, it listed who that she was preceded by. And it named her husband. As a matter of fact, it named 5 of them. And at the end of it, it said that he would be cremated. That woman read that and said, shook her head, laid the paper down. She's kind of a, I guess you'd say, an old maid. And she laid the paper down. She said, Lord goodness, I said, this woman's got husbands to burn and I can't even find one. Amen. Well, I want you to know tonight, you heard about the one that married a banker, a movie star, a preacher, and a mortician, and they all died, and they married another one. And so they asked her, said, why did you marry a banker? Why did you marry a movie star? Why did you marry a preacher? Why did you marry a mortician? And she said, well, 1 for the money, 2 for the show, and 3 to get ready, and 4 to go. This woman had a man problem. This woman here, she could never find a man that would satisfy her. But can I tell you, that day when she went to the well of salvation, her man problem was solved. She found the love of her life. She found a man like she had never seen a man before. And she even went out and told him, said, come on and see this man. I've never met a man like him. I've never seen one speak like him. I've never seen a man like him. He told me all things. This man is the Christ. Amen. This woman had a religion problem. You say, how come? Because the Bible said in John 4, she said, we've got a place to worship. Said, we got a place we go to worship. Jesus said, you worship you know not what. But he said, they that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and truth.
Amen.
But you know, when she found the Lord, her religion problem was solved.
Right.
Praise God. Amen. I'm glad tonight there's a problem-solving place.
Amen.
And it's the well of salvation.
Yes. Amen.
I don't know what problems you have tonight, But the well of salvation will not only take care of your worst problem, but it'll help you with all other problems. Amen. And so the well of salvation is a problem-solving place. I've seen people come in my church over the years with problems, bad problems. But Brother Miller, I've seen them come, and after hearing preaching maybe for a while, after the people get to praying for them, get to caring about them, and get to talking to them, there comes a time, maybe one Wednesday night or Sunday morning or Sunday night, that person will step out of that pew and they'll come down to the altar and they get born again, really get saved. And you know what? When they really get saved, they get a drink from the well of salvation. It takes care of a whole lot of problems that they have. Amen. Amen. Look in Psalm 73. Psalm 73, look at verse 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble, there it is, as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Here's somebody had problems. Here's somebody that they said, I got trouble, got problems. I've been watching the world. I've been watching the wicked. I've been watching how that they seemingly have no problems at all. Sometimes the devil will make you look at your neighbor that don't go to church, that's not saved, that don't love God. Sometimes the devil will make you look at your classmate who does all things they shouldn't do, who don't talk right, walk right, never goes to church, and yet they're the most popular at school. And the devil will get you looking at them, and you'll get to looking at them, and the next thing you know, you got a problem, and you're saying, God, why are they so blessed? God, they're not even living for you, and it looks like they don't have any problems. Just remember this. Just because somebody looks like they don't have any problems, does not mean that they don't have some problems. This man had problems. But you know what? Look down in verse 16. He said, when I thought to know this, Psalm 73, verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood therein. Did you know that God's sanctuary is a problem-solving place? Did you know the best place to get your problem solved? You see, even after you get saved, you have problems. Amen. A lot of problems. Getting saved took care of your sin problem. But you're still going to run into a lot of problems in this world. But you know, I don't know why people do this, but they do. I've watched them do it. And people get saved and they get in church and then they start having trouble. And as soon as they start having trouble, a lot of them will drop out of church. Can I tell you, when you got trouble and when you ain't got trouble, you need to be in the house of God. I'm telling you, God will speak to you in the house of God. You'll find help in the house of God. God's got these men of God. He gives them a message to speak. And if you'll listen, God will tell you through the Word of God what you have need of. I'm always having folks come and they'll say, Brother Prophet, do you do counseling? I say, yes, I do. 3 times a week. I counsel Sunday morning at 11, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday night at 7. And if you'll come to all them counseling sessions and take notes and follow me in the Word of God, I said, you won't need much more counseling, but if you do, we'll meet and we'll talk about it. Amen. I'm telling you, the Bible and the preaching of the Word of God will help you with your problems. Amen. Amen. Marital problems. People have marital problems. It happens. That's why the divorce rate is what it is right now. But you know, you can find help down at the house of God for your marriage. My sister one time lives in Alaska, and she lived here then, but she was having some marital problems. And she called me and was talking to me, and I gave her some verses of scripture. And she said, "You mean the Bible will help you with your marriage?" I said, "Yes, honey." I said, "The Bible will help you with everything." I said, "God." And you know, there's a whole lot of world out there that thinks the only thing the Bible's for is to keep you from going to hell.
Right.
Now, that's the main thing. That's the most important thing. But there's not an aspect in our life that God don't have an answer to in the Word of God if we pray over it and seek it out. Listen to the man of God. Study the Bible. Read the Bible. The Bible has answers for our problems. You say, "Well, I got sin in my marriage." I always try to get people to stay together if they can. Sometimes it's just not possible, it seems like, because maybe one's not a Christian or maybe one won't do what God's Word says. But sometimes, you know, I always try to get people to stay together. I believe that's the will of God, Brother Miller. But sometimes sin can get into a relationship. But aren't you glad the Bible said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of all sin. Sometimes marital problems have nothing, simply no more to do with it than this, that everybody's not acting in their role. Everybody's not following the pattern that God laid out for the home. I know the world don't want to hear that tonight, but God has a pattern for our homes. And when we follow God's plan, things fit together a whole lot more. I used to work for a guy after I quit. I worked the factory 23 years. And after I quit working at the factory, the church couldn't pay me enough at that time to sustain me. And so I helped another guy, and we'd go out Walmart and Kmart and Lowe's, and we'd put all our stuff together. We'd assemble lawnmowers, cabinets, whatever they had to put together, we'd put it together. When I first started going with him, we'd open up a big box, and it'd be that instruction sheet there, and I'd just throw it aside, and I'd go at it, and I'd start putting it together. Well, after a while, I'd run into a problem, and this piece wouldn't fit, and I'd get on and have a sack full of screws left. And he'd come back, and he'd say, "Look, if you're going to work for me, you got to go by the instructions." He said, "I promise you, every screw is in that box." And he said, "Every screw has a place." And he said, "If you get done, got stuff left over, you haven't done something right." You know what I found out when I started going by the instructions? He was right. I found out that everything had a place. Did you know that our life gets in a mess? We get problems because we throw the instruction book to the side and we go at it by ourselves. But I'm glad here's the manual. I'm glad here's the instruction book. It tells us what a marriage is supposed to be like. It tells us that husbands ought to love their wives and wives ought to love their husbands. It tells us about the order of the home. It tells us about the kids and what they're supposed to do and how we're supposed to train them. I'm saying a lot of problems people have in the world, and the reason we have so many more problems today is because we have so many fewer people going to the house of God, and they don't know what you and I take for granted tonight. They don't know anything about it. They have all kinds of problems. Can I tell you, your marriage won't end up on the rock if you'll put your marriage on the rock. Amen. God will help it all hold together. Jesus is the glue that holds it all together. Amen. Did you know you can go to the house of God? I just picked out a couple here. I mean, any problem you can find help for down at the house of God. I can't think of a problem that you couldn't find help out at the sanctuary of God, at a good church where they preach the Bible and a good preacher. Did you know the backslider has a problem?
Yes.
We got a lot of them today, don't we?
Yes.
You say, "Well, I don't believe in it." I don't either, but I see a lot of them.
Amen.
Amen. You say, "What is a backslider?" Well, it seems like the word means that somebody's slidden back from a position which they once held.
Right.
And backsliding is always gradual. Yes. Nobody's ever really in and then just falls out.
Right.
One night. It's always gradual. Starts a little bit at a time. I've watched them there at church. People that love God and love to come to church. They come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night for years. And then all at once, one Wednesday night, they're not there. I said, where's so-and-so at? Well, they didn't come tonight, preacher. They said they're just tired. They didn't come. Well, it ain't about 2 or 3 months. They're not only not there on Wednesday night, they ain't there on Sunday night. And then the next thing they do is they drop out of Sunday school. And finally, the only thing they have is they're coming to the Sunday morning service a little bit. I took a dear lady that come to our church years ago, and I loved her. But I seen what was going on. I'd seen the pattern. I knew what was coming. And I asked her, I said, can I see you in the Sunday school room just a minute? And she said, yes. And we stepped into the Sunday school room. I said, I noticed you quit coming on Wednesday night several months ago. And I said, now I noticed you're not coming on Sunday night. And I said, you know what's going to happen? She said, what? I said, 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out. And I said, you done struck 2. You only got 1 more to go. What's about that tonight, what that lady tonight? She's out of church. She's out of church. Boy, that breaks a pastor's heart. But you know what Proverbs 14:14 says? It says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. But a good man shall be satisfied of himself. You say, what's that mean? Well, to me, that means a man that's right with God, a man that's serving God, that means that his own self, he don't like his own self. I don't like myself. A few years ago, somebody said, preacher, I don't like your preaching. I said, I don't like it either, but it's all of God. Amen. I said, preacher, I don't like you. I said, I don't like me either. I can't stand me, but that's just me. That's the way I am, amen. You say, if you're right with God, you don't like yourself. You don't like your flesh. You look in the mirror and you say, mister, you make me sick. Mister, I hate you. Mister, I'll be glad and I get rid of you. But when a person gets backslid, the Bible said the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. You say, what's that mean? They don't want what God wants anymore. They want what they want. That's why they quit coming on Wednesday night. That's why they quit coming on Sunday night. That's why they finally get out of church altogether. They don't want what God wants. They want what they want. You can tell tonight if you're backslid or headed that way if you start putting what you want in front of what God wants. Amen. I'll tell you, you don't never want to read the Bible. You don't never want to pray. You don't never want to go to church. But there's somebody in you that does. Brother Miller, a few years ago, I had somebody said, preacher, I'm just wore out with it and burnt out with it. And I'm just going to quit. Of course, it broke my heart, and I went up in the office and praying about it. I said, God, they said they're going to quit. It was like the Holy Spirit impressed on me. He didn't speak audibly or anything like that, but he just impressed on me. And he said, that shouldn't surprise you. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, there's a part in every saved person that never did want to start in the first place. There's a part of you who didn't want to get saved. That night you got saved, there's a part of you who didn't want to do it. There's a part of you who didn't want to come tonight.
Amen.
There's a part of you that just don't care for the things of God.
Right.
But you get saved, you got the Spirit of God in you.
Amen.
And he always wants to do the things of God. Amen.
Amen.
That's what happened to the prodigal son. He said, Father, give me. I want what I want. You see, that's a backslider talking. I don't care what the Father wants. I want what I want. Give me.
Yes.
Give me. That's a backslider. But here's a person that gets right with the Lord. I'm going to rise. I'm going to come to myself. I'm going to go to my Father. He went back to the Father's house. That's where we're at tonight, isn't it?
Yes.
The Father's house. And then, you see, a lot of our problems, and I believe this with all of my heart. I know we're going to have problems in the world. I done said that. But I believe that a large percentage of our problems are self-made.
Yes.
We'd have problems even if we lived for the Lord the most perfect we could. But a whole lot of our problems, we make our own self.
Yes.
By the choices that we choose and the things we choose to do.
Amen.
We make our own problems. And so I'm glad the well of salvation is a problem-solving place. You can come tonight, that well's still open, that well's still deep. You can still draw from it tonight and get help for your worst problem. I'm glad tonight for this church. Years ago, did you start this church, brother? Who started?
Elijah Wood.
What year was that?
That was, you remember what year that was, Brookwood?
It's just been about
35 years ago, God. 35 years ago, God led a man of God named Elijah Woods to dig a well. And you're still drinking out of it tonight. Still drinking out of it tonight. You see, God puts wells all over this world, leads people to dig a well, and long after they're gone, they're drinking out of Jacob's well tonight. Think how long he's been gone. Jesus dug a well on Calvary's hill.
Yes.
Over 2,000 years ago, we're still drinking from it tonight. Praise God. I'm glad that God has wells, sanctuaries all over Somerset, all over Glasgow, all over the United States.
Amen.
Where people can go if they got a problem. It's usually the last place people go. Brother Epps ever preached here?
Yes.
Brother David Epps, he talks about one night going into, or one morning going into, I believe it's Fairview Baptist Church. He said he had needle tracks in both arms. Had on a pair of bell-bottom pants, a t-shirt, ragged t-shirt with a peace sign on it. He had problems. But he went into Fairview Baptist Church. I got a good friend. His name is Carl Nelson. He's in heaven tonight. Carl lived down in Irwin, Tennessee. He preached probably 20 revivals for me. I'd have him every year till he died. Brother Nelson, I preached several revivals down in where he lived, Irwin, Tennessee. And I remember being down there one time and went into a grocery store, a Kroger or something like that, and I got to talking to a man, and I said, "Do you know Carl Nelson?" He said, "You mean Knifey Nelson?" I said, "Well, I don't know. His name's Carl." And he said, "Yeah, it's a preacher." I said, "Yeah." He said, "We all call him Knifey Nelson." I said, "Why is that?" And he said, "Well, just think about it." He said he'd stay drunk all the time. He's town drunk. He fought all the time. He'd get in a fight and he'd cut people up with a knife. But Brother Nelson told me, he said, "Preacher," said, "one night I wandered into the First Baptist Church of Irwin, Tennessee." And he said, "I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I didn't have Christian parents." And he said, "It was cold that night, and the only reason I went in is because it's so cold." He said, "I went in, I sat down on the back seat, back the very back of the church." He said, "For the first time in my life, I heard a preacher preach the gospel." And he said, "I heard him preach about Christ and how much he loved me, and how he suffered for me and died for me on the cross, and how he'd forgive all my sins." And he said, "When they gave the invitation that night, I made my way down to the aisle and I got saved that night. And God saved me, took a drink from the well of salvation. He found help at the sanctuary of God. God called him to preach." There was a widow lady in that church, took a special interest in Brother Nelson, and she got to buy him suits and clothes, and then the ladies in the church got to buying him clothes and trying to help him, and he wound up marrying that widow lady. They stayed together until they both died. You know what? He got his problem solved and fixed down at the house of God. God's still solving problems at the well of salvation, the sanctuary of God. Amen. Let's go one more tonight and we'll we'll quit. Look over in Matthew 6. Look at verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Problems can be solved at the well of salvation. Problems can be solved at the sanctuary of God. But problems can be solved at the secret place of prayer. Oh, thank God for prayer.
Amen.
You ever think, I was thinking driving home last night, did you ever think what it'd be like if God fixed it so we'd be saved, but he didn't leave us no church, and he didn't leave us no Bible? Wouldn't that be awful? Live in a world without a Bible or a church, wouldn't that be just awful? And wouldn't it be awful if God saved us and God said, all right, you're saved now, but I don't want to hear from you no more. I don't want you to talk to me no more. You can't pray. Like we said the other night, God gave you a coupon book and said, there's 50 coupons in here. You can pray 50 times and then you're done. But you're glad God didn't do that. I'm glad God didn't do it. I'll be honest with you tonight, and God is my witness. I could not make it without prayer. I've had more of my problems solved on my knees than anywhere else.
Amen.
A large percentage of the church problems that a man has in a church, a large percentage of them, I've been able to solve them on my knees. You and your wife ever have disagreements?
Yes.
Fuss?
Yes.
Fight? All out war. World War I, World War II. Let's just be honest tonight. You know, my brother, he went to church in Bowling Green, Kentucky. He called me one night and he wanted me to come down. So we're having a little seminar down here for marriage. And he said, won't you and your wife come down? Well, I was wanting to encourage him because he'd just gotten church. And we went down there and we went in the church and they had some little young guy about 25 years old teaching a marriage seminar. I don't even know if he's married or not.
Right, that sounds familiar.
We sat there and I'd done been married 30 years. And maybe my attitude wasn't right to start with. I'm thinking he ain't gonna be able to help me. I'd been married 30 years. But we sat there and listened to him. And he was teaching that night on how to put the fire back in your marriage. Next day my brother called me and he said, you coming back tonight? I said, no, we can't make it tonight. He said, how'd you like it? I said, well, it was pretty good. I said, he was preaching on how to put the fire back in your marriage, and we started home. Before we got home, I was mattering fire, and she was mattering fire. And a few months after that, I preached at a little old church over here at Russell Springs, a little old church, and there's an older man and woman sitting right where y'all sitting. If they was... they was every bit of 80, 85 years old. They sat so close that they wouldn't know why she'd get any closer unless she got over in his lap. They were holding hands. They'd been married like 65 years. They got him up to sing a song. He played the guitar. They sung a little song there. And I'm sitting there thinking, the next time I go to a marriage seminar, I don't want some little upstart teaching. I want somebody like that that stayed married 60 years and still loves each other and still holding hands and still loving each other. That's who I want.
Amen.
I said, oh, let's say this. There's been times that that's been like that at my house. Sometimes it's my fault, sometimes it's her fault. I go over to church, get to praying around, talking to God about it. I'd say, God, the Word of God says I'm not supposed to be bitter at my wife. I'm supposed to love her, and I do. But I said, God, I've made a mess here, and I can't fix it. I said, Lord, I wish you'd speak to her over there while I'm here. And I've drove home, brother, walked in the house. She'd be smiling and come over and hug me. I'd hug her and everything would be all right. You say, what took care of that prayer?
Amen.
Secret prayer.
Right.
Secret prayer take care of that.
Right.
You see, in our text here, you remember Elijah? Oh, Elijah over in 1 Kings, he had a problem, didn't he? And the Bible said he changed locations. He went from Beersheba and he went out into a wilderness somewhere. But his problem still wasn't solved. He left his servant behind and he went by himself. But his problem still wasn't solved. He had a visitor come and talk to him. But his problem still wasn't solved. He laid down and slept, rest some. But his problem still wasn't solved. You know when his problem got solved? When he got over there in that cave alone with God. And he talked to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to him in that still small voice. That's when his problem got solved. Folks, problems are solved at an altar of prayer and in the secret place. Because you see, we have a partnership. The Bible says, pray to your Father. If you're saved tonight, God is your Father.
Amen.
Did you ever go to your father and take a problem? Say, Dad, I need some help here. Now, me and my father, we never did have that kind of relationship. There's a few times that I was able to do that, but I didn't have a father like some people have. But some of you have had fathers that you talk to them every day. If you got a problem, you go to your dad, you go to your father. But you know what? My heavenly Father's like that. I can go to him and talk to him. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, I hate it you have to drive up there to the revival by yourself. I said, oh, I don't mind it. I like it. I talk to the Lord on the way up there. And that's what I do. I talk to the Lord. You say you pray while you're driving? Yeah, but I keep my eyes open. There's a partnership. And then there's a power there. You see, I don't have the power to solve my problem. But God does. Psalm 62 and 11, David said, once have I heard this, that wasn't enough. He said, yea, twice have I heard this. That power belonged to God. My hands are limited. I can only reach so far. I'm limited. And if you say, Brother Prophet, I want you to help me, I'm limited in what I can do to help you financially. I'm limited in what I can do to help you physically. I'm limited in what I can do to help you mentally. But you know God don't have no limits. God can call somebody way on the other side of the country to help you. Amen. Boy, I feel like preaching tonight, but I done preached too long. But there's so much I want to tell you. But I know you're not able to bear it. And when I mean bear it, I mean physically. But there's a power there. And then there's that promise of God there. Oh, thank God for the promise. You say, what's the promise? I like Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now I understand that don't mean I can pray for a Cadillac and get one unless it's God's will for me to have it. My prayer's got to be in the will of God. But if my prayer's in the will of God, I can ask anything and God will do it. Because it's His will. Philippians 4 verse 5. The Bible said, let your moderation be known. The Lord's at hand. Be careful for nothing. But in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Matthew 6:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks unto God, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You can thank God for anything. Amen. Matter of fact, I was sitting there tonight, and it just came to me, and I said, Lord, thank you that both air conditioners didn't quit.
Amen.
Just one. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank God for anything.
Amen.
So prayer is a promise there in the Word of God. You got problems tonight?
Yes.
Are you lost tonight? You can get that problem solved tonight. At the well of salvation.
Amen.
Maybe you come into the church tonight and you got problems. I hope that the Lord helped you tonight.
Yes.
And you found some help in the sanctuary of God.
Right.
And then tonight there's an altar designated around the front of this church. It's an altar, a place to pray. You got problems tonight. You can come and kneel down. He don't have to know what it is. I don't have to know what it is. They don't have to know what it is. But you can come down and just in a secret there, you can whisper to the Lord. Say, God, I got a problem. And I need some help. And on this book and what it says, God will get you some help. Father, I thank you for this week. I've enjoyed being here, enjoyed being with the people. And we love Brother Miller, his wife Chris, his children, his grandchildren, and his church people. And Lord, I pray tonight, God, I know we all have problems. I know we do. We might be amazed tonight at what somebody might be dealing with sitting here tonight in this sanctuary. And Lord, I know for sure this is what you impressed upon my heart early in the morning to give to your people tonight. And I pray if it don't help them tonight, I pray they'll remember it and it'll help them somewhere down the road. Lord, if that lost person is sitting among us tonight, may the Holy Spirit help them to realize just how great a problem they have. And may they come tonight and get that problem solved. At the well of salvation, may they draw water with joy from the well of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's stand tonight if you would, please. Got a problem tonight? You need to come tonight.